This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group. Brandon Legal Group, huge supporter of the Todd Wright Tour, came on board most recently for the Todd Wright Tour Championship in Valrico. Brandon Legal Group, located not far from where we played the Todd Wright Tour Championship at Buckhorn Springs. You can call Brandon Legal Group today at 844-4BLG4ME. They're your full-service law firm serving the greater Brandon and Tampa area, and I can't speak enough about Colin and the guys, their enthusiasm for the Todd Wright Tour, playing in the Todd Wright Tour Championship, and they took the next step, helped me out in giving golf balls to all the winning teams in the Todd Wright Tour Championship, Brandon Legal Group's logo on all of those quality golf balls that we gave out. They will be a proud supporter of Todd Wright Tour XV. That's the 15th event coming up later this summer. And I'm happy to welcome them as the sponsor of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Again, you can call Brandon Legal Group today to schedule a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Full service law firm serving the greater Brandon and Tampa area. Thank you, Brandon Legal Group. Thank you for listening to the Tampa Bay, the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. We're cutting this on Wednesday night in advance of posting on Thursday morning. Game one will be Friday, not Saturday, because of a concert conflict at Amalie Arena. So Lightning and Capitals are literally going to skip over the concert conflict at Amalie Arena, kind of like as we speak right now, recording on Wednesday. Nashville and Winnipeg would be playing Game 7 if not for a concert at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. So they skip over a concert as well. You run into this. Lightning ran into this a couple of years ago against the New York Islanders. Had a couple extra days on Long Island, actually in Brooklyn, because of a Justin Bieber concert. These are natural conflicts for this time of year. The arenas that are the primary tenants for these National Hockey League teams obviously want to do all they can to keep dates open in the playoffs, but at the same time, they still need to maximize revenue, and they need to be able to book other events. And, you know, it's sometimes tough to predict how good your team is, how long into April and May and potentially June you are going to need to clear dates in your building for your primary tenant to host these games. Clearly, you know, Nashville, that arena was built not only with hockey in mind, but to be a barn that could be used for a lot of different type shows in Music City. You know, Vegas in much the same situation. Probably not as much so in Winnipeg, with since the move of Atlanta to Winnipeg with that franchise and how good things have gone for the reincarnation of the Winnipeg Jets, formerly the Atlanta Thrashers. But this is something that's worked out, and actually the way the schedule falls, it's basically an every other day type schedule for the Capitals and for the Lightning. Not a lot of extra rest for one team as opposed to the other team, based on the fact that you know, within 24 hours, Lightning clinched their series, Capitals clinched their series. Capitals did take six games to do it against the two-time defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Lightning do it in five for the second straight series. Yes, Lightning have won in five in each of their first two rounds. Capitals have had to play one more game in each of their first two rounds against John Tortorella's Columbus Blue Jackets, where they were down 2-0, and then against the their nemesis. Every Stanley Cup the Pittsburgh Penguins have won in their history, they have beaten the Washington Capitals on the way to that Stanley Cup. It didn't happen this time. And for the first time in 20 years, the Washington Capitals have advanced to the conference finals. It is a much longer gap for the Capitals to reach the Cup Finals than for the Lightning, who just did it 3 years removed. Their loss to the Chicago Blackhawks, 1998, the Capitals lose in the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost in a four-game sweep. Steve Yzerman knows well about this, to the Detroit Red Wings. From the Capitals standpoint, so the Capitals have played two extra games over the last month than the Lightning. Not a huge factor. 6-6 as opposed to 5-5. You'd rather be on that 5-5 side, but I wouldn't go as far to say even if the Lightning win the series, you point at the reasons why and say, well, that's because they played less hockey coming into the series. It was interesting that when Boston lost to Tampa Bay, Eddie Olczyk did bring up that Boston being forced to go 7 against the Maple Leafs may have been a factor in them, one of many factors in them being dominated really four games in a row after winning that initial game 6-2 against the Lightning. And sure, you can buy 7 versus 5, and also the fact that Boston simply wasn't able to put that series away, losing game 5, losing game 6, and then having to come from behind with that big third period against Toronto to come back and advance in the next series. Boston and the Capitals play much different types of hockey. So this should look like a much different type series, and I think the matchup looks much different as well. Washington is the top scoring team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and for all of their failures in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Alexander Ovechkin era, when you think of the Washington Capitals, really you think of two things. One, their failure to do anything in the postseason, and, well, they can score goals, primarily in the regular season. They're now over that hump, and especially getting through Pittsburgh, which more than any other franchise has been in their way. Puts the Capitals not only in the conference finals, but feeling pretty damn good about themselves. And well, they should, considering they just couldn't get by the Penguins in the Ovechkin era to get to this point, or to get to this point against anybody else. So it was a twofold for the Capitals, and the positives for them in achieving the conference finals and in defeating the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, all along this year, I felt the Penguins were vulnerable simply because teams don't go to three Cup finals in a row anymore. I mean, you can think about the Kings winning multiple Cups, and there was a gap in between. You can think about the Blackhawks and their three Cups, and there were gaps in between. The Penguins win two Cups in a row, and it takes a toll over time, and then you factor in there was a World Cup of Hockey there before the start of last season, and eventually it just does catch up to you, even though the roster wasn't identical from the Penguins' Stanley Cup victory over the Sharks to the Penguins' Stanley Cup victory over the Predators to this Penguins team that lost in 6 to the Caps. Let's work our way around a little bit in talking about this series. From a goaltending standpoint, yeah, I would say Andrei Vasilevskiy has the edge. He is a Vezina Trophy candidate. He was not benched this season, which Holtby was. Holtby didn't even start the playoffs. Now, you can look at it from the most recent sample size, and actually, the stats mirror each other because Holtby didn't play those first two games. All right, so that means he's played exactly as many games as Andrei Vasilevskiy, 10. I believe Vassy's save percentage is 927 in those 10 in his 10 games, Holtby's percentage, I believe, is 924 in his 10 games since he was put back in after the Caps were lost their first two on home ice to the Blue Jackets in the first round. So sure, I get that Vasilevsky has the goaltending edge, but he needs to play to that edge, and there will be a lot of other factors in the series. It's not like you look at Washington and say that they are weak at goaltender. They are not. Holtby was benched at the end of the regular season. He just had a horrible three-game stretch that got him yanked from the lineup. It's kind of interesting when you think about it because, you know, the Lightning in their first round faced the Devils, and it was Kincaid who started that series, and then Schneider came back in, and kind of a similar scenario, not identical, with Holtby not starting the Stanley Cup playoffs and then earning the right to come back in. I mean, playing better than Schneider did, but with the rotating goaltenders, New Jersey and now with Washington, certainly not with Boston in the last round. But Holtby has played well. Honestly, I'd say Vasilevsky has played better. But when you're talking about same number of games, same number of wins, and save percentages of 927 and 924, yeah, that's pretty even. But I would say that Vasilevsky gets the edge because he wasn't benched this year, as Holtby was at the end of the regular season and at the beginning of the Stanley Cup playoffs. From the standpoint of, again, Washington being the highest scoring team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Lightning don't struggle to score goals. They certainly don't struggle for firepower. It's just a little different. My opinion is Washington comes at you primarily with their top two lines. They score most of the goals. They do most of the offensive. They have most of the offensive productivity. It doesn't mean that their third line, centered by Eller, fourth line centered by Jay Beagle. Beagle more of a he's a very good penalty killer. He was hurt early in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He came back. It's not like the Caps look to either of those guys to lead them offensively. No, they do other things out there on the ice and get the job done. So when the number one and number two lines, and as we speak right now, Backstrom did travel to Tampa Bay. At least the reports I looked at before this podcast said, yeah, he's traveling. Whether or not he plays game one is another story. He did not play game six on the previous series against the Penguins. So you're looking at a Kuznetsov and a Backstrom as those top two centers for the Capitals. And really, it's those top two lines that do most of the offensive work for the Caps, and also who Barry Trotz, from a defensive standpoint, gets on the ice with them, most notably a John Carlson. We are in an era where we've got a number of sort of big-time offensive-minded defensemen on some really good teams. San Jose has had Brent Burns for the last number of years. Burns, a big reason why San Jose played for the Cup 2 years ago. They fall short of getting to the West Finals, losing to Vegas in the conference semifinals. But Brent Burns is a very good example. Carlson is one of the best and cannot be ignored for his offensive production on the blue line, and that just adds a lot of firepower to what the Caps already have up front with those two lines. The Lightning don't necessarily have that, when you think of who the Lightning have on the blue line, offensively, it doesn't stand out nearly as much from a statistical standpoint, or really in the flow of things, the way the Lightning do it, with what Carlson means for the Caps. Caps can play physical, and playing physical is what helped get them here against the Pittsburgh Penguins. It also got Tom Wilson suspended for 3 games. He will be back, obviously, for this series after serving that suspension for a play that, where no penalty was called midway through the Pittsburgh series. He's a winger, just like Ovechkin is a winger, just like TJ Oshie is a winger. Oshie really one of those guys that when the Caps brought him in a couple of years ago, that was one of those transactions that, you know, hockey fans said, well, they're adding the right type of guys to support this effort to get over the hump, past the Penguins, get to the conference finals and maybe beyond, Oshie being one of those players, and he plays to that level. Probably best known not just for his days in St. Louis, but for what he did the last go around as it related to the NHL sending players to the Olympics. So where with the Lightning, you know, especially from the Boston series, the production came from all four lines. Granted, the play of the Callahan, Kunitz, Paquette line was more physical play than it was creating offensive chances, but it was fun to watch. And then, of course, you have Killorn, Gord, and Cirelli. At various points this year, we've gone from talking about the young Braden Point to then the young Yanni Gord, and it's been ever since March 1st, a lot of Cirelli talk about how the Lightning just cannot get him out of the lineup. They can't afford to not have him out on the ice and being a part of what's going on here. So the Lightning actually get more probably from their third and fourth lines than Washington does. It doesn't mean that Washington's third and fourth lines are liability. I think it's what Barry Trotz asks from that Lars Eller line, that Jay Beagle line, and more reliant on the offense that comes from when the number one and number two line and John Carlson are on the ice rather than rolling it. And of course, I mean, John Cooper would love to see his number one line play like they did at the end of the Boston series and like they did at various points of the regular season, not the end of the regular season where Stamkos wasn't able to hit the back of the net, but Kucherov and Stamkos with Miller as the third element since that trade with the Rangers play to the level of a number one offensive line. And then perhaps be matched in terms of creating scoring opportunities by the Braden Point, Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat line, which has produced pretty consistently in the Stanley Cup playoffs, despite the game one negatives across the board, the minuses across the board in that 6-2 loss to the Bruins. That really the only real flaw in their game. I guess you can nitpick and say, well, in the game where New Jersey won against the Lightning, the numbers weren't that drastic, but there wasn't a lot of highlights from that line. But that line has probably been the Lightning's best line in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or at least the most consistent. The Lightning, in particular, the top three lines sort of give them more ability to score, create scoring chances, where with the Caps, I think it's more of their top two lines. Granted, John Carlson on the back end probably gets the edge. I'm not saying Carlson's a better defenseman than Victor Hedman, but I think he does more offensively than Victor Hedman does. At least the numbers sort of bear that out with what Carlson has provided to the Capitals this season. So there's sort of a look at a lot of the aspects. You can expect goals to be scored in this series. Could Vasi pitch a shutout? I guess. But shutting out the Capitals is a tough thing to do. And this is a different postseason for the Capitals. They have reached a different level. They have looked like a different hockey team. Even when they went down two games to the Columbus Blue Jackets. A number of people, including me, said they'll still win this series, and they did. So, as I said on the previous podcast, if it were the Penguins that were advancing, I think it was a little better matchup, believe it or not, for the Lightning, just because of the 3-year-in-a-row factor. Now you've got the Caps getting over the hump, playing with house money. Ovechkin's playing extremely well, just putting a lot of pucks on net, but it's not just him. So from the Lightning standpoint, being able to generate offense from multiple lines, John Cooper with last change, clearly felt good even after the failures of game one and having the point Johnson-Palat line on the ice against Boston's top scoring line, which was the top scoring line all year over the span of the series. It worked. Does that mean those guys are on the ice against the top line for Washington, which features Ovechkin and Kuznetsov? I guess Ovechkin and Kuznetsov do things a little bit differently, but I'm guessing that's where this starts. But again, the Caps' top two lines sort of stand out more than Boston beyond just that that first line. That first line was the one, if you could control it, keep those guys off the board, Boston might search for offense elsewhere and not really sure where they're going to find it. Look at the late power play down one goal in game five of Bruins and Lightning where, and it was even predicted, Boston put out its top line, its top power play five, and then the minute they got tired, Cassidy used his timeout and then put them right back out there again. So the Caps have more firepower than the Bruins. They're not as physical as the Bruins. They do have a better offensive-minded defenseman in Carlson from the back end. And look, the Bruins came in hot. But Capitals are in a position that this organization has wanted to be in for a long time, and that makes them dangerous. I think we're going to have a high-scoring series. Obvious statement here is that discipline will be important. I think the edge there is with the Lightning. They are a more disciplined team. Even Paquette didn't take bad penalties for as much ice time as he had in the Boston series. He wasn't taking bad penalties. A guy like Carlson can take bad penalties for the Capitals. And, the Capitals have blown a number of two-goal leads in various playoff games this year. In those first two losses to the Blue Jackets, they blew two-goal leads in both games. They blew some two-goal leads in the Penguins series as well. So even if the Caps get up a couple of goals, it doesn't necessarily mean the Lightning can't eliminate those deficits. And Lightning fans would be comfortable thinking that, and Caps fans would be thinking, this lead certainly isn't safe. We've seen this before. So I think leads will be more important to the Lightning than they will be to the Caps. Because I think the Lightning can overcome leads by the Capitals. Not so much with the Lightning blowing leads against the Capitals. But yeah, staying out of the penalty box will be important. Both of these teams have a lot of talent that they can put on the ice, power play wise. The Caps' lack of discipline seems to stand out more than the Lightning's does. No team has worse discipline than Nashville, but the Caps have been a victim of that at various times throughout this postseason. So I'm not looking for a lot of shutouts. I would imagine that the losing team in a number of games is going to get a minimum of 2 goals. And I know we're talking about good goaltenders here, including Andre Vasilevsky, a Vezina Trophy finalist, but that's just how much offense you have on the ice. In this particular series, we'll have a better idea once we draw some conclusions out of Game 1, although we can't draw too many conclusions out of Game 1 because Caps lost a Game 1 to Columbus, and then Game 2 won their series. Lightning lose a blowout to Boston in Game 1, go on, win their series. But at least we'll get to see maybe what we're looking for in style of hockey. I just think you're going to see a fun offensive series where leads aren't safe, probably more so safe for the Lightning rather than the Caps. And still talking about an offensive series where you've got two very capable goaltenders and probably not a lot of soft goals being scored. The Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast again welcomes Brandon Legal Group as the sponsor for the duration of the postseason. Brandon Legal Group is one of my newest supporters of the Todd Wright Tour. They both provided prizes for my winning teams in the Todd Wright Tour Championship at Buckhorn Springs and played in the event as well. That's so important to me when I have the supporters of my golf events, not just saying, here's something for your players to enhance the event. That's wonderful. I love when businesses take the next step and say, we want to play. We want to participate. We want to be part of the fun. We want to see what you're doing. And Brandon Legal Group was that. Colin and the boys just came on board with the last tournament, and already we're talking about what we're going to do for Todd Wright Tour XV on July 28th. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm serving the greater Brandon and Tampa area. To schedule a free consult, call 844-4BL-G4ME, 844-4BL-G4ME, Brandon Legal Group, big supporters of the Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group. Thanks to you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Remember to subscribe to this podcast to know when each podcast is posted. Based on the schedule, what I will probably do is get you a new podcast after Game 2 on Sunday night. So I would expect you will get the next podcast. We'll review what's happened in the first two games of the Capitals Lightning series, and we'll get you that posted on Monday with at least 24 hours lead up before we drop the puck in Washington for Game 3. Subscribe to the podcast and you will automatically know when each new podcast is available to listen to. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group. We'll talk to you next time. Enjoy the weekend hockey.